want to tell me the oh man, I can't even pronounce that, can I?
It's Entereme.
Entereme. Okay. So
I've had so many people on. I've had people on live television talk shows butcher it, and it's so terrible because you go out there, and they're like, "We have the star from blankety blank, Manu. Manu's here." Oh my God. Yeah, it's Entereme. Entereme is the Incan festival of the sun, or the Incan god of the sun in Peru and in the Hindu culture and spirit. And Manu is the Incan and Hindu god of law. Entereme is the Incan god of the sun. My parents, who are both bad Irish Catholics that ran away from their parents when they were young and fell in love in the 60s, decided to give me my own last name because I was conceived at this festival in Peru called the Festival of the Sun, the Entereme, and there was like thousands of people running around in the forest down there and praying for peace and love and all the stuff they did in the 60s, and that's where my name comes from.
I didn't think you were that old, dude.
I'm pretty old.
I was born in 67. I was born just before the Summer of Love. I don't know about you, but man, you don't look like you're more than, I don't know, maybe early 40s.
Well, yeah, but I am. I'm 39.
You're 39.
This Saturday. I turned 39 this Saturday, man.
Oh, well, happy birthday. Okay, well, I was darn close, although I did kind of insult you by adding a couple of years to your age.
No, that's okay. I actually wish I let the gray hair grow in. Truthfully, if you see a picture now, I'm all gray. I've got like I'm a silver fox already at 40 years old. So and I let it grow in because I keep, not to be, I sound like a total dork. I sound bad saying this, but I can't help it. I kept playing kids. I kept playing like these, you know, 28-year-old, 29-year-old roles of like, you know, the juvenile kid or the drug addict kid or the bad boy kid. I don't want to play boys anymore. I want to play men. And so I've let the gray grow in to try to look more manly, and I'm growing the goatee out. And it's paid off. I've actually booked a couple of films in the last couple of months where for the first time in my life, besides a film I did called Fortress, I get to play a man instead of a boy. So,
oh, yeah. Cool. Well, good for you. My gray hair is growing out just because I have a 6.5-year-old, and you just, you know, can't stop that.
That'll do it. Yeah.
All righty. Well, anyway, let's cut to the chase here, because I've got a little bit over 45 minutes to chat with you.
Okay.
And then I have to chat with Ira Bear, believe it or not.
Oh, cool.
I paid $150 for my interview with him.
You got paid $150?
Well, I donated $150 to the Deep Space Nine Kickstarter so I can ask him about fan films.
Okay, cool. He's a fantastic human being. I love that guy. Now, I don't know him really, really well, but I've chatted with him a couple times at, you know, bumping into him at different conventions. And what a stud and what a show. You know, I love working with Armin Shimerman. He's on the circuit and on my last film, Fifth Passenger. And I remember I didn't watch a whole lot of Deep Space Nine, but when I did, I completely enjoyed it. And I remember my favorite episode before I even knew Armin. I saw this episode. I think it was called The Ascent. And it was just an episode about him and Odo are like climbing a mountain.
Yep.
Together, and to try to get the receiver up to the top so they can get beamed out. And it was just such a fantastic episode and so well written. It's just been a pleasure to work with Armin and that whole team, and Ira Bear is a stud, and I think that documentary is going to be amazing. So
yeah, I can't wait for him. I'm so glad that they just blasted through their crowdfunding. Speaking of which, by the way, congratulations on, you know, getting what, $33,000 I just looked at in like 2 days.
Yeah, it started out good. We're on a roll. We're stirring up the pot and trying to get the news out there about this show and get people to know exactly what this show is about and what the Kickstarter is about. Is the goal for the next week is just to try to get some more press and let more people know that it's happening. But we're very happy with how it started.
Yeah, so what is the elevator pitch? I mean, I know all about it, but, you know, to get people to go from my blog to your Kickstarter page.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's the mic.
You know, I have been a fan of science fiction anthologies since I was a kid. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s with Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories and Tales from the Dark Side. And recently, while I was creating the circuit, I saw this project called Black Mirror that is a science fiction anthology series as well. And it was very inspiring to what we're doing. The circuit is basically a science fiction anthology in the vein of Black Mirror, but with more heart and hope and color and genre. And it's not all dark science fiction. Black Mirror focuses on all dark science fiction. It's not like we're a multi-genre show. So basically the elevator pitch, the short and sweet of it, is 10 episodes, 10 science fiction stories that all take place in the mega city of Urbiesa, this gigantic, who knows how big this city is, who knows where it is, mega city that exists somewhere on, we think, planet Earth. And what's cool about this compared to other anthology shows is beneath the surface of all 10 of these stories is a deeper thread and a deeper story that a mystery about an object and or a group of people and or who knows what it is, but a mystery known only as the circuit. And each episode of the anthology will bring you clues to this deeper story that will be tied together at the end of the 10 episodes.
But you don't know that story yet.
Oh, I do. But
oh,
the crowd doesn't. Yes.
But the crowd, okay. Because I know that you're having a contest right now for a fan to write one of your episodes. Is that correct?
Not only one. So that's the second part of the elevator pitch. It's, you know, 10 episodes, 10 science fiction stories, 10 subgenres of science fiction. So one episode will be a sci-fi thriller, one episode will be a sci-fi romance, et cetera, that all take place in Urbiesa. And then at the end of the season, it's very much like American Horror Story. If we sell the whole series, the next season would be a completely new concept, new story, new location, but same actors. And the third part of the pitch is that we wanted to make a series that involved fans, filmmakers, professional filmmakers, and celebrities, and let the fans come in and collaborate on each episode. So for each episode we fund, whether it be through Kickstarter or we sell the series to Amazon, Netflix, HBO, or any of the cable networks that could handle a show of this size and scope, we will bring in a group of fans to collaborate and work not only in the writer's room or writing screenplays, but also in key departments of the production team. So anybody that wants to be involved in the episode doesn't have to pledge to be involved. They just need to go to manuentereme@thecircuitfilm.com and send us in a video letter, a resume, a reel if you're already a filmmaker or you already work in one of the departments. I mean, there's hundreds of jobs in making television and film. But just send us whatever you have to show us what kind of art in filmmaking you're interested in and why you want to be a part of the show. And for every episode that we finance, we're going to bring on a group of fans for every episode to work on the show.
And those fans, I'm going to ask the obvious question because it wasn't necessarily clear from your website. Are those fans going to be volunteers or are they going to be compensated in some way?
No, they'll be paid. And whether they're paid well, you know, if we only raise 75 grand this time around and we just get to shoot the pilot, we can't pay them extraordinarily well. They'll probably get, the same wage that everybody else working on the crew is going to get, which probably amounts to $150. But if we raised $250,000 to shoot the pilot, then they'd be paid better. It just all depends on the kind of budget that we can scrap together.
Are you talking about $150 a day? You're not necessarily talking about $150 the whole thing. Or are you talking about $150 for the whole
thing? Yeah, I'm talking about daily. You know, basically, on a low budget, web series or a low budget scale, most of your crew is working for $100 to $150 a day.
Yeah, I've been there, done that a couple times.
But you're, and even if that is the result, and it's looking like we're going to raise more money than that. But if that happens to be the end result, it's still going to be awesome. We have the people working on this show are, we've got Mike Phillips and Jason Newfield and their team from Radical 3D. These are guys that did the visual effects for Flash and Arrow and DC's Legends of Tomorrow. He actually ran the department that oversaw all three of those shows. He did visual effects for Star Wars, Rogue One, and Iron Man, and What Dreams May Come. This guy's an absolute stud. And our directors and director of photography and our writers, all top-notch professionals and our actors, not to mention. For $150 a day to come hang out with these sci-fi icons and fantasy icons and TV stars and professional group, it'd be a blast. I'd do it I wouldn't do it for free, but I'd do it for $150 a day.
Well, you might be doing it for $150 a day.
Yeah, I might be.
And I'm guessing that, the guys who worked on Flash and Arrow and Legends, they're not getting $150 a day. They're probably not giving you their top rate, but I'm guessing that they're, charging a little bit more than that for the work.
Well, they're good friends of mine that everybody on this project. I've been in Hollywood for 20 years, and so I've pulled favors from the most talented people that I know, and they're convinced as well as I am in the project that we're not only going to make an episode of this, but we're going to sell this to the networks or one of the streaming services. And so they're working way, way, way below their rate in belief that in the end we'll sell the thing and we'll all make a whole lot more in the future.
Yeah, that's sort of the dream of the hybrid fan professional / independent film right now.
And, it, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen. But we have some really, really talented people involved in this thing. And so we're going to swing the bat as hard as we can.
Yeah, and you obviously are. I mean, one of the things that people ask me, because I've got a lot of people who read Fan Film Factor who themselves are fan film makers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them try to launch these Kickstarters and these Indiegogo campaigns. And, more than one of them has said, John, what do you think it is that, makes a Kickstarter successful? Because, I needed to raise $16,000 and I've raised $1,600. And one of the things that I've noticed is that there's a right way to do a Kickstarter and a wrong way. Mm-hmm. And so far, I've seen a little bit of what you guys have been doing. I think you really have been, like the duck, you've been paddling incredibly fast underneath the water. I've seen your post, you've been reaching out to, the existing lists that you know are there, the Starfleet lists and the local clubs here in Los Angeles. And I'm sure you've been doing, incredible stuff. But that's, one of the things that I say to people is when you launch your Kickstarter, it should never be a surprise.
No. Yeah.
Because one guy just launched a Kickstarter yesterday and he's made $10 so far. It's like, well, because you didn't tell anybody you were launching it.
No, and it's actually incredibly difficult to tell people that you're launching a Kickstarter to get it out there. It's a job. We spent 6 months the first time around buying a marketing team and putting advertising dollars into a digital, so-called digital marketing experts that were placing ads everywhere to let people know that this was happening. Really, I am not the master of running Kickstarters. The first film that I produced from a Kickstarter was called Benjamin Troubles, and we have that out on Amazon Prime right now. But I think we raised $6,000, and from that $6,000, then we started to just raise money privately, and we ended up raising $180,000 to actually make a movie, but it took 5 years. The next one was called Fifth Passenger. We raised $100,000, and in 2 months, we're going to be finished with Fifth Passenger. And it looks like a $15 million film. But privately, again, after we raised that $100,000, we raised a lot more than that. But having that initial which most people don't know. You know, most fans don't know from in Kickstarter land. If you're like not in Hollywood and you're just contributing to something, if you're trying to produce a film and you have a script and you have a little sizzle reel and you have some actors attached, maybe they're not A-list actors, but they're known actors, it's very hard to get anybody to take you seriously until you have a couple hundred grand in the bank. And then suddenly there's all these film finance type of folks that will believe in you and take you seriously because you're putting up that much money. They almost assume that you're professional at that point. So we've been able to do that twice, and I wish so much right now for the Circuits case that I could show people Fifth Passenger because it's so beautiful. And I'd love you to write about it as well. It's an incredible film. It'll be out in a couple months. We already have offers to sell it, so we'll definitely be out there, whether it's on straight to sci-fi or theaters. We're not sure yet, but we're going to get our best value for it. It stars Tim Russ, Doug Jones, Armin Shimerman, myself, and it's a beautiful space thriller that takes place on this tiny little space pod, and people can check out more about it at fifthpassenger.com.
Alrighty, there's your plug. It's now in there. yeah, when that's ready, give me a tap on the shoulder. Usually I just do Star Trek fan films, but because you basically have four Star Trek alumni in there, you count.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Fifth Passenger is definitely, it's not a Star Trek film, but we've got Marina Sirtis in there as well, and when we shot it, Doug Jones was not a Star Trek actor, but now he is.
Yeah, it's really funny, isn't it?
Everybody
and
sci-fi ends up there somehow.
Well, yeah, I've actually, you know, there's some other productions out there that are not necessarily Star Trek fan films, like Blade of Honor that Ryan Husk is doing. But,
yeah.
You know, it's,
Ryan's also involved with us on the circuit.
He's involved with everybody, Manu.
Yeah, he is.
He really gets around. Tim Ross, like, you can't turn around and walk into a fan production without finding Tim somewhere.
I know. I've had that happen to me. I couldn't help but to hire him myself. I'm like, there he is. Oh, I better hire him.
Which brings up a question. So, whose idea was the circuit? Is this all you, or what? What's the origin, the secret origin of the circuit?
Well, it's been quite a journey. It started with a concept maybe 5 years ago that I had called Con Men. And I was traveling on the convention scene, and I wanted to do a behind-the-scenes show about what happens at conventions and do, like, a not a reality show, but, like, a comedy.
Documentary?
Yeah, no, a comedy, like a film. And it was basically about a bunch of actors that were going to play themselves on the science fiction convention scene, and these evil convention empire, these, you know, conglomerate convention owners that they were going to get back at. So that, you know, that was the concept. And then I actually got with Walter Koenig, and we shot a trailer for Con Men, and I went off to Germany to a convention called FedCon, and the people that I was producing the film with were cutting the trailer, and we were going to do an Indiegogo campaign. And when I got back, this was 2.5 years ago, I sat down, opened my computer, was going to look at the footage that me and Walter shot for the Con Men pitch, and Con Man was up on Indiegogo, the Nathan Fillion, Alan Tiddick project. And I was like, oh my God, Con Men and Con Man, there's no way this is going to compete. So I immediately went, okay, this was going to be a bunch of different stories about what happens behind the convention. What can we do differently? And over the next 2 years, talking with different actors and different friends and writers and directors, and my love for, you know, science fiction anthologies in general, it sort of morphed into what it is now, and changed from a film to an anthology series. And we're hoping, you know, an anthology series that goes forever, but it changed from, first it was like a comedy about what happens behind the scenes at conventions. Then it was an anthology film about what happens behind the scenes at conventions. Now it's a science fiction anthology series about what happens behind the scenes of this fictional mega city called Urbiesa. But because some of the scripts that the fans wrote were so good, we've left this event called OmegaCon that takes place in Urbiesa every year in the stories, because one or two of these stories might have something to do with this convention called OmegaCon. That's like the world's biggest pop culture convention, happens in Urbiesa every year. And it's one of the subtle ways that we tie our stories together, like just in really subtle ways. Like, you know how Black Mirror uses the technology that different characters use to, like, the stories are completely different, but they have the same tech, so you know it's around the same time, same place. Like, you'll see a poster of OmegaCon, or you'll see some fans on their way to the show, or you'll hear an advertisement on the radio for OmegaCon, etc. It's one of the ways that we'll tie the stories together.
Now, when you actually film these episodes, are you going to be filming them in a studio? Are you going to be filming them at conventions? You know, where's your, are you going to be in front of a green screen? Are you going to have sets? What's the...
Well, that all depends on the budget. I mean, we have, the creation of Urbiesa is one of the most exciting and at the same time the scariest things to go into, because if we have a $2.5 million a budget episode, episode budget, then we don't have, and even then it would be sort of a problem to solve. So right now we have an episode, the way we did the Kickstarter is we went, what can we shoot well for the cheapest amount of money? And so we know that we can at least get this project started. And so we have this great screenplay that takes place in this apartment in Urbiesa. And we see out the apartment window into an alleyway. And it's a whole functional episode that's fantastically written, great story that takes place just there. And so we'll have, you know, visual effects in this futuristic apartment, hologram type visual effects, and a couple of shots out the window where we get to see some of the shots of the city that we would use a green screen and, you know, get some production value in there and get you a look at what Urbiesa looks like. If we raise more than what we're trying to raise and we get to go to stretch goals and we get up into that $150,000 range, we have screenplays ready to shoot for that budget. And so it really all depends upon how much we raise this first time around, which story we shoot first. And if we shot a story that took place at a convention, we've had a lot of people open their doors to us. The convention in Denver was like, come, you can use our convention center, you can shoot at night on the convention floor. The convention attendees will certainly, raise their hand to be extras. And we would take advantage of offers like that and get it done that way.
Well, it sounds like you've got this planned out for a very, very flexible, range of possibilities. So,
well, we have to be. I mean, right, it's a Kickstarter. We don't know. All we knew, like, we had to shoot. We know we wanted to get the project started. So we're like, if we raise $50,000, can we shoot an episode for that cheap? I don't know if you've ever tried to make a film, but shooting anything for less than $10,000 a day is really hard to do on quality, film quality cameras, Alexa cameras or Red Epics and that type of crew. So we're like, we aimed low and hoped for high and got everything in order so that we could shoot. And even low, the episode's going to be good. You know, we didn't want to make anything bad. So
we've got an amazing cast lined up, but I'm guessing that not everybody's going to appear in your pilot.
Not in episode one, no. I mean, 23 actors in one episode would be, I think it would just be,
yeah.
I mean, unless it was really brilliantly written, it would just be sort of a cluster. We do have this, we did figure out a way to do it. I mean, all these things have come up. We have this excellent episode, and I don't want to give it away, but there is a way at the very end of the episode where all the actors would appear for like a minute of the episode. And it's actually really brilliant and really funny, but it's one of those that we would need about 150 to shoot. So it's a possibility too. It's unlikely that everyone's going to appear in the first episode, but possible.
Is there anything else I haven't asked you yet that I should have?
You should definitely have the At the Circuit movie on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you have my circuit, Manu Antirame, At the Circuit film. That's the big thing here, is when we went to set up the project, we made everything online, At the Circuit movie. And then when I went to buy the website domain, somebody wanted to sell me At the Circuit movie for $70,000, which I did not have. So the website is At the Circuit film. And for people to get involved that want to get involved on a just on a creative level or a financial level, they can contact me at monumentyrame at the circuit.
And what people are you looking for? You know, so there are fans out there. Are you looking for fans specifically in the Los Angeles area? Are you looking for fans with certain skills, with certain availabilities? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for half and half, you know. I want to be able to bring on five people that will come on and that are just, you know, young and not necessarily even, it doesn't even, the age just doesn't have anything to do with it. Just passionate about filmmaking, always wanted to have that experience in their life, but don't know a whole lot about it, that we can bring on to set, we can, you know, give them an adventure and also give them an education. The other five people, I would like to be, you know, film people that are involved in any aspect of filmmaking, whether it be from score to sound design to visual effects to makeup effects to set builders, carpenters, you know, anybody that just digs working on behind the scenes of film. And we're probably going to, I mean, we have in the perks, you can be an actor in the film, but we're also probably going to cast somebody or somebody's from the fan site, the fans out there in the universe, to bring them on the set for them to play a part, too.
So how about writers?
For writers, that's a good question. People are always saying, well, what do I write about? You know, what are the rules? If people want to submit screenplays, it's right now we're planning on, you know, 22-minute to 30-minute episodes because right now we have a $33,000 budget. In the long run, we would like to make it an hour-long series, but right now we're focusing on 22-minute to 30-minute episodes. So 1 to 30 pages has to be science fiction. We prefer it to be written for our actors or for, you know, one of our actors, somebody in our talent pool. And you pick the subgenre. That's all up to them. But it also has to happen somewhere in Urbiesa. And they're more likely at this point to get their screenplay picked if it's a one-location type of screenplay and not something with, you know, running and motorcycles and car crashes.
There you go. All righty, Manu.
Thank you.
Well,
pleasure meeting
you so much. And good luck. I'm excited.
Thank you.
Okay, take care, my friend.